going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ovechkin was in the vicinity, and a shot here from Ovechkin. And they score! And Ovechkin got it! His first overtime game winner! Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Montreal! Alex Ovechkin, the overtime game-winning goal! Caps lead the series 1-0.
John Walton's call on Caps Radio is heard on our sister station, 106.7, The Fan. Oh, my God. The season he is having, it is one truly for the ages. 39 years old in the midst of perhaps a season that may end up being his most memorable at 39 years old. Breaks Gretzky's record, finished third in the league in goals scored after missing a bunch of games, would have led the league had he stayed healthy all season, and after 44 career overtime playoff games without a goal, his first one last night. 2:26 into overtime to prevent what really would have been a bad loss. Max is a big hockey game, so I will get his thoughts. Hockey fan and Caps fan, so I'll get his thoughts in a moment. But I watched that game start to finish, and it felt like the Caps were the better team for at least 50 of the 60 minutes. They dominated and had a 2-0 lead until Montreal ended up scoring twice over the final 10 minutes of regulation, had opportunities to score even more. They had 20 of the last 22 shots on goal. I've never heard of anything that dominant. The ice tilted in one direction over the final 10 minutes of that game, and the Caps were lucky that they got the break because they were reeling at the end of regulation, but they get the goal. Alex Ovechkin, by the way, becomes the oldest player in NHL history to either score or assist on at least 3 goals in a playoff game. He scored their first on a power play 18 minutes and 34 seconds into the first period. He assisted in the second period goal that Washington scored for a 2-0 lead, and then he got the overtime game winner. The Caps win 3-2, game 2 Wednesday night, tomorrow night at home. Really fortunate to hold on to that one. I thought they came out and in the first 10 minutes really dominated the game but had nothing to show for it. They got the power play goal, which was huge because they pretty much dominated much of the first period of that game. Ultimately, statistically, the game ended up pretty damn close. The shots on goal, 35-32 Montreal. The hits, Caps were hitting. Both teams were hitting. It was a chippy game throughout. The Caps won that 42-33. Both teams had 2 power play opportunities. In and each scored on a goal. I thought the Caps' second goal was a little sketchy, looked like a high stick. I was surprised that Montreal didn't review it, although I was reading this morning that it may have been very iffy, that it would have been overturned, and they would have ended up on a penalty had the replay failed. Block shots, teams were really selling out in this game one. The Caps win it 3-2. Joe Beninati will join me in 15 minutes. Joe B in 15 minutes on the show. We'll get Joe's thoughts today. Also on the show, a lot of draft talk today. Eric Edholm from NFL.com will join us at 11. Nikki Jabvala from the Washington Post will join us at noon. I've got my edges, my edge rushers, my defensive ends, if you will, segment. I did running backs yesterday. I'll probably do corners tomorrow and maybe receivers on Thursday, focusing in on the positions that are likely for Washington 29. O-line's in play, no doubt. I think everything but quarterback really is in play on Thursday night, including, by the way, trade back and trade up scenarios. I sort of spelled out yesterday one of the dream situations that I think could develop for Washington, and that is a trade back and a taking of two really good players in the second round. If you missed that, I'll share that with you today on the show again as well. But Max is my new producer. For those, you know, that have missed it, Denton has left for better pastures. I talked to Denton this morning. He's back from his honeymoon. He had a great wedding a week ago Friday night. He's back from his honeymoon. He's starting his new job today. He's doing well, and I'm thrilled for him. Max is replacing him. Max is a huge Caps guy, so go ahead. Tell me, how worried were you? Because it felt like, to me, that would have been a bad loss had lost that game in overtime.
It would have been devastating loss. I would have come in here just all doom and gloom with a little black rain cloud over my head. But it was a tough fight from the beginning. Like, you could tell right from the jump that the Caps were on, they were ready, they were dominant. But Sam Montembeault, the goalie for
he was great.
He was incredible. I was really worried that we were going to get a Halak 2.0 situation, because in 2010, the Caps had lost Game 1 to Montreal 3-2 in overtime. So I was.
Oh, was that the score of Game 1 in 2010?
Yeah. So I was. It was eerily familiar, and I did not like it one bit. But they were buzzing the entire game. They were getting in Montreal's face. I was really impressed with how they came out. Like, you could tell that this wasn't the same team that was playing, you know, was what, 3-9 since March 25th. It was a very different hockey team. They flipped the switch. They looked great. Brandon Duhaime reading the lineup card and eating it was very funny. It set the tone for the boys in the locker room. So I was thrilled when Alex Ovechkin knocked it through by some miracle. But it was, yeah, I was on the edge of my seat the entire night.
Now, tell me if I'm right about this. Mm-hmm. The Suzuki Caulfield, the top line for Montreal, there was a very big difference in watching, and I'm not a hockey guy, but there was a very big difference in watching this game in that they have, it would appear, one line that's capable of generating offense.
Yeah.
And that's it. Whereas the Caps, I think, can do it with multiple lines. But that Caulfield was awesome the game. I thought Suzuki was really great. That second goal to tie it, how about the patience?
Yeah.
To sort of just wait that thing out and then and get the clearing and to score. I thought that was a really impressive goal. But Montreal seems to have, and maybe Grant told us this yesterday on the show as well, they've got all of their scoring strength wrapped up into three players.
Pretty much. They're trying to kind of inject some youth with the Russian prospect Ivan Demidov and stuff like that. But they're, that one line is really responsible. Caulfield, Suzuki, Slavkovsky. But I got to give credit to Josh Anderson and Brendan Gallagher. They were just physical all night, getting in the Caps' face. You can tell that they're going to be a big problem throughout this series. So it's not just the scoring, but the physicality too, because that's a huge part when it comes into the Stanley Cup playoff hockey.
You're right about their goalie. By the way, Logan Thompson was outstanding too.
Outstanding.
He was outstanding. Now, I didn't feel like he was tested as much through, two-thirds of the game, like Montembeau was tested over and over again. Like, down 2-0, I felt like if it weren't for him, Montreal could have been down 4-0 at the very least.
Yeah.
In that game.
Joe B was saying the exact same thing. It was an onslaught from the jump, and he's a rookie, man. It's just so impressive. I would not want to see Montreal later down the line in his career.
Yeah. So the Caps snag game one, fortunately, would have felt like a bad loss. Now, I got to tell you, last night was an incredible sports night.
Yeah, it was.
And I was up until the last game went off, and you had two incredible hockey games in the late games between you had Colorado and Dallas in an unbelievable overtime game. Dallas was down 1-0 in the series after dropping game one at home. They scored in overtime all the while, and I had YouTube TV on, and I was split screening it with Houston with Edmonton and LA. Edmonton scored two goals in the final minute and a half to 2.5 minutes to tie it, and then the Kings scored the game winner with under a minute to go. It was as action packed as you could imagine over the last 25 minutes of real time with the last two hockey games, and the two NBA playoff games last night were off the charts. And that's where I want to get to my what do you got. Hit the what do you got sounder, Max.
All right. What do you got?
Last night was a great night for sports. I mean, it started with Caps Canadians going to overtime. That was the first overtime game in the first 3 days of the playoffs. There was one that would come later with Dallas and Colorado that was exciting. Man, that Dallas crowd just decked out in green. It looks awesome. And I think the Caps, rock the red looks awesome too. There is something unique about hockey crowds in particular. They are dedicated to the dress code. You get that in college sports. I often feel like watching hockey at playoff time, it feels almost like college atmospheres. So intense. I do have to, and I'm not going to talk much more about it today because I don't want to oversell like I've been doing leading into the NBA playoffs. But man, last night was why the NBA playoffs are awesome. The first game, Detroit and New York. Detroit has played the Knicks now in two straight games, and they have dominated 7 of the 8 quarters. And they almost ended up dominating just 6 of the 8 quarters, which would have led to a 2-0 deficit. But they held on with Cade Cunningham, who has become an absolute killer and a star. I did not think he was going to be this coming out. I was dead wrong on Cade Cunningham. I thought when he got picked number one overall out of Oak State in 2021, right? 2021, Cade Cunningham. I thought 2022? 2021. I really thought that he just looked like, I don't know, I actually thought that he was one of these players that was more of a finesse player. I thought we would see a little DeMar DeRozan. I thought we would see a little SGA. Now, I didn't think SGA would end up being what he became. But Cunningham is uncheckable at times. In the garden, you talk about an atmosphere. He went for 33 in the game. And for the Knicks, it was Jalen Brunson, and that was it. Karl Anthony Towns was a big move in the offseason, bringing him in from Minnesota. He didn't take a shot in the fourth quarter. The Knicks are in big trouble in that series. I think I predicted a potential upset, Detroit over the Knicks, before the playoffs began. And then late last night, and this is what I was primarily watching after the Caps lost, Kawhi Leonard put on a performance for truly the ages. It's one of the most efficient performances, shooting-wise, scoring-wise, in NBA playoff history. This guy flat out, and I've been saying this for years because he's been one of my favorite players in sports. If he had remained healthy during his career, he would be considered a top 10, worst case, top 15 player of all time. Last night in a must-have game two after they blew a big lead in game one, and he didn't play that great in game one. He had 7 turnovers, scored 22 points. Last night, he went for 39 points in 39 minutes on, get this, 15 of 19 from the floor. 15 of 19 from the floor. He was also 4 for 7 from behind the arc and did not miss a free throw. In terms of some of the advanced numbers, it was one of the top 3 shooting performances in NBA playoff history. And it's the way he does it that has always been so cool to me. He's just one of those guys you'll never, ever be able to speed up. He plays at his own pace. He gets to wherever he wants to get to because he's so strong, because his ball handling skills are so outstanding, because his length is all time, because his hands are so big. This guy just gets to where he wants to get to. And last night, he was 9 for 10 at halftime. And by the way, the 4 misses, they 3 of them were basically halfway down and out, and one of them was just long off the back iron. He was so good. Now, I have to tell you, man, I don't love watching the Clippers play because of James Harden. The ball, when he's in the game, just sticks way too much for me. I think personally, and you basketball people understand this, when you don't make a defense move, it's going to be hard to win 4 out of 7. It's hard to hold up over 48 minutes when you're so dedicated to ISO ball. And with Harden in the game, that's it. And by the way, he was a disaster for much of the night. Had just horrible turnovers, horrible shot selection. Kawhi, a lot of his buckets came off of ISO ball. I understand that. And it's not my favorite to watch. But if they're going to win this series, he's going to probably have to go for 35 to 40 in each of these games. Now, when you get home in these postseason games, you often get your role players to play much better. And their role players like Bogdanovich and Derek Jones have struggled a little bit, in the two games. Jokic last night, triple-double again, but had 7 key turnovers and missed a ton of free throws. That probably hurt Denver more than anything. Aaron Gordon missed a dunk with 2 minutes to go, wide open off the back iron. But if you like watching pure brilliance when you're talking about both ends of the floor, but just the style, and I don't even know over the years who Kawhi would be compared to, because it's so unique to watch him, which is one of the reasons I've always enjoyed watching him. He just doesn't look like he's ever sweating, and he doesn't ever look hurried. He was awesome last night. They needed all 39 of those points. If he had missed 1 or 2 more and was like 13 of 19 instead of 15 and 19, they probably would have lost the game. Clutch, all-time clutch playoff performer. It's so sad when you think about how many, if you're an NBA fan, how many games we've missed from him because of true injuries over the last few years, in years that would have been some of his prime years. All right, Joe Beninati, next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings.
Which for me would be pineapple and toenails. Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirecTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
Off this draw, it squirts loose. On tempo, ready. Rebound and tight. Score! For the first time in his career, Alex Ovechkin has a Stanley Cup playoff overtime goal.
There were 44 other opportunities before last night, but on the 45th opportunity to play an overtime game in the playoffs, which is about the most exciting thing in the sport, Ovechkin continues this season for the ages with his first overtime game winner. The call made by Joe Beninati, along with Craig Lachlan, last night on Monumental's call of Game 1. Joe B., so nice to join us right now. I want to just start with this. When you come out the way the Caps did last night, and even for someone like me who doesn't know a lot about hockey, it was so obvious that they were the aggressor, the crowd was into it. And yet, you know, you get to the end of that first 20 minutes and you've just got one goal, even though you've dominated. Is that a bit of a lift for the opponent?
Sure. Yeah, Kevin, I thought Martin St. Louis' team acquitted itself really well by the end of the night. Montreal didn't have a very good start. They're the youngest team in the playoffs. A lot of their guys are experiencing this for the first time or are very young in their Stanley Cup playoff career. So to practice and get ready for the Washington Capitals in game one of a best of seven in a building like Capital One Arena, yeah, you can do all you want to try and simulate it. But until you get into it, you really can't experience it. And the Caps were dominating in the first 10 minutes. And that's where you, as a Caps fan, you cross your fingers and go, geez, let this be 1-0, 2-0, 3-0 early. And it wasn't. They didn't get their power play goal from Ovechkin until late in that period. Sam Montembeau played extremely well for Montreal in the nets. I thought he was solid all throughout.
Yeah,
he came very much as advertised. But the first shift of the game, McMichael makes a brilliant move, and Connor is someone we all root for because he has such great ability, and you just wish that he could bear down and finish that one. He had another great chance within a minute of that. It could have easily been 2-0, 3-0 in that first 10 minutes, but it wasn't, and Montreal kept getting better and better as the game went along.
Did you have any sense up 2-0 as the game just got to the point where it seemed like we were just counting it down to a 2-0 win? Because Logan Thompson was awesome in goal as well. All of a sudden, the game turned. Montreal had 20 of the last 22 shots on goal. I mean, do you ever sense a turn of momentum like that? Because the Caps were the better team, clearly, for 45 to 50 minutes of that game.
Kevin, you just used the word momentum. And in hockey, you can really feel it, and especially at this time of year. And for whatever reason, on the particular power play that preceded the Caulfield PPG, they got momentum from that goal, and all of a sudden confidence and more poise and more puck possession and better passing, and all of a sudden all the quickness and the high acceleration hockey that we heard Montreal likes to play, all of a sudden tipped on that momentum. It was that power play. It was that power play goal. They finally solved Logan Thompson. And Thompson was dazzling, I thought, last night. And we can get more into him. But momentum is a very, very powerful thing come playoff time. And for whatever reason, it clicked in Montreal's favor in the middle of that third period. And you were really worried that that Montreal might get in there and steal that home ice advantage.
I said something earlier in the show. It seemed to me, and I don't know anything about Montreal until watching them last night, that their top line of Caulfield, Suzuki, and Slavoski was so much better and so much more capable than anything else they put on the ice. Is that what we're going to see in this series, that if their top line doesn't generate their offense, they're in trouble?
I think it's a fair point. They are top-heavy, and that line that you just mentioned, Caulfield, Suzuki, Slavkovsky, one of the best, if not the best line in the entire league, Kevin, in the last 6 weeks of the season. I mean, you've got a lot of statistical data to support that. That's how good they've been. But they are a bit top-heavy. They've got a lot of character, a lot of grit, a lot of jam throughout the rest of their forward lineup combinations. They brought in a young player, a teenager from the KHL, Ivan Demidov. And if he plays with Newhook and Line A, as Martin Saint-Louis deployed them last night, there's a potential spark there. There's a lot of speed with Newhook, shooting ability with Line A, and off-the-grid quickness with Demidov. That might give you some problems, but no doubt at the top of your to-do list on the scouting report, you have to maintain Caulfield, Suzuki, Slepkovsky, and that's no easy assignment.
Were you surprised that Montreal didn't challenge the second goal?
So I'm going to get more clarity on this when I get to the rink today. In my opinion, Kevin, yes, the puck is hit by Beauvillier in a high stick manner on its way to the goal. The first person who touches the puck after the high stick, in my mind, and I know the rules well, I'm not an expert, but I know the rules very well. The first player who touches the puck after it's hit with a high stick, if it's a capital, the whistle blows. So in other words, if Beauvillier knocked that down from above his shoulders, in this case, to the ice, and then gets it possession and scores, that should have been a whistle. He deflected it above the height of the shoulders and above the height of the crossbar, but it didn't go in on the initial deflection, Kevin, right? It went off the goalie. So the next player to touch it is a Montreal player. To me, everything's free and clear. He gets the rebound. He buries it. He's allowed to do that. I'm going to confirm that with some people who know the rules better than I, but that's why I don't think it would have been a successful review or a successful challenge. Yes, if the deflection goes in from above, in that case, it becomes the height of the crossbar, definitely challenge, it would be no goal. But Beauvillier didn't knock it down to himself, possess it, and then score. That, to me, was the issue.
Talking to Joe Beninati, the Caps in overtime last night, 3-2 winners over Montreal. Game 2 set for tomorrow night in Chinatown at Capital One. So you mentioned him already, and that's on my list to ask you. Assess Logan Thompson's first game in, you know, nearly a month.
Well, he looked really good. He looked really solid. His reads were good. He's always an incredibly powerful and reflexive goalie. But, Kevin, the best goalies in the league will tell you, and at this level, all pro goalies will tell you, sure, we've got the reflexes to catch up to these 100-mile-an-hour shots, But when we're at our best, when goalies are at our best, they're making things look easy. It's a positional matter that I thought Logan did a terrific job of after being out for 2 or 3 weeks. I'm sure that that rest helped to heal a number of different things that may have been ailing him. So he came into that with a good mindset last night. You know, hockey teams don't give up very much information in their practices, but that game was played on Monday, right, last night. So the team practiced downtown. Very rarely do they do that, at the big rink on Saturday. And Logan spent the entire practice in the end of the Caps defend twice. We call it the starter's net. If there was any giveaway, that might have been it, that he was in that end of the rink on Saturday knowing that he was going to be the guy on Monday. And boy, did he turn in the kind of performance you hope for. I've said this in numerous occasions, Kevin. If you get January Logan Thompson, Washington can beat anybody. You haven't seen January Logan Thompson in a while for various reasons, but last night was really close to getting back to what I saw. He was so pinpoint and powerful. It reminded me a lot of the way he went through December, January, and early February.
Talking to Joe Beninati, so I thought last night was a pretty physical game and even a chippy game for game one. Usually you see the temper start to flare after a few games. Do you agree with that or not?
Yeah, that's just playoff hockey, and I don't know that Montreal wants to get involved at all in that with Washington. Not very many teams do, but the Caps do have a decided size advantage over Montreal. Montreal's defense in particular, I know that has to be part of the mission statement for Spencer Carberry and his coaching staff for the Caps forwards to hit whenever possible. Don't go out of your way to make a bad play just to make a big hit, but to hit and forecheck aggressively against the Montreal defense, force some turnovers, create some counterattacks that way. I don't think Montreal wants to have this game be played along the boards. Someone like Josh Anderson does, 17 does. He's basically, to me, and has always been very much similar to what Tom Wilson brings to Washington. Anderson brings at a lower degree, at a lesser level, to wherever he's played, whether it be Columbus or Montreal. He reminds me a lot of Tom. Skates like the wind, big guy, very physical, terrific fighter if need be. But other than that, they don't have, I don't think they have the beef to match up with Washington if this is going to be a board battle like that. I don't think they want to get overly physical with the Caps.
There is some Caps breaking news. We'll get to that in about a minute, so stay tuned for that. But I didn't want to lose this train of thought on something I wanted to ask you before now. And that is, you know, there was this discussion about the end of season, not winning, not playing well. Was it a focus on the OV chase of Gretzky? What was it? Can they turn the switch back on? How do you think they did with respect to that last night?
I asked Locker that. I asked our analysts quite a bit. Brent Johnson, Alan May, Bruce Boudreau, on and on. Tarik El-Bashir as well. Am I seeing what I think I see? Which to me, Kevin, was just human nature. They ran away with the division. They ran away with the conference. They qualified for the playoffs so quickly. To me, they took their foot off the gas. And I don't know, make a track and field analogy. Usain Bolt in a prelim and a qualifier, he pulls up the last 20 meters. He's not running all out. It's not a final. To me, that was what Washington was doing. At least I hoped it was. And yes, there are other factors. There are injury factors. There were illnesses. And yes, the chase of Wayne Gretzky was all-consuming for that team. And I'm sure it took a lot out of them. I'm glad Alex did it in early April and allowed the team to refocus, because now individual achievements are not what matters. What matters now are team accomplishments. And this group is very, very tight-knit, incredibly cohesive. They know what the mission is ahead.
All right, the breaking news, and the Caps PR just put it out. Martin Fairbury, the defenseman that got hurt April 15th against the Islanders, actually had a surgical procedure yesterday to repair meniscus in his right knee, and he's going to miss the rest of the playoffs. The impact of his loss is what?
This is a player who can really move the puck. I think he's one of the more undervalued Caps defenders. And sure, Kevin, throughout this season, Washington was praised for scoring goals the way they did. I think they finished up second best in the league in terms of offensive goals per game. A lot of people thought, yeah, those 51 wins were mostly because of the offense. To a degree. They also got special goaltending for a long time from LT. They got special net mining at times from Charlie Lindgren. But to me, defensively, that group of six that was together for so long and so unscathed by any injuries or any illnesses. I mean, there was a stretch there, Kevin. They played the same six defenders 60 straight games. I mean, that's almost unheard of. Ferravari is a great puck mover. He's an excellent skater. His skating ability allows him to be matched up against some of the other team's toughest offensive-minded players. He's physical. This is a significant loss. And as soon as that comes out of my mouth, I was happy with the way Alex Alexiev played last night. Alexiev is a bigger body. Not that Marty's not strong. Marty is incredibly rugged and well-built. But Alexiev carries that 6'4" frame. It gives him a little bit more reach. He can play with some snarl. He does not have the mobility of Ferravari, but Alexiev and Van Riemsdyk worked together a lot at the end of last season. They worked, I want to say, all four games of the sweep against the Rangers together. This group of six can be adaptable. They haven't had to be. They're going to be now with the loss of Marty, and that's it pains me because that's such a good kid, and you root for someone like that, and I feel badly that he'll be missing.
All right. Alex Ovechkin last night. I mean,
I know
first
him.
Of all, the goal that he scored on the power play looked like the record breaker, actually, against the Islanders. But, I mean, what are we watching here at 39 years old? I said at the beginning, and I don't know if it's hyperbole, but we may look back 10, 15 years and say this was the most memorable year of his career.
Which is stupid to say, right? Stupid to even think about. It's just amazing what he did. He scored 29 goals after he broke his leg.
Yeah.
At the age of 39. Come on, Kevin. He's rolling into these playoffs. Last year, he spent an incredible amount of energy after a slow start to the season. I want to say he was in single digits in goals come December. He roared home to another 30-goal season. Didn't have much of an impact on the New York Rangers as the Caps got swept as an 8 seed to the top seed in the first round last spring. That is what's highly motivating him this time around. And to see him have a 3-point game right off the jump, a 2-goal game, an overtime game winner, all of this is just another indication of what he has to do and how he leads with that Captain C by example. Get on the ice, bust your butt. When you get those shooting opportunities, bury them. And oh, by the way, when I think most of the year, Kevin, he was conservative by Ovechkin standards in terms of body hits and contacts. In the last few weeks, he's back to 5 and 6 hits a game, and several
seven
of them a night are real bone crunchers.
Yeah. I mean, he really looks like he's turned the clock back, and it's just amazing because, Joe, I was reading something yesterday or the day before about the top 50 players in the postseason. It was something ESPN.com put out. The first Cap on the list was number 33, and it was Alex Ovechkin. Is that a true reflection of their roster, that there's a lot of good but nothing great but him right now?
Well, I mean, in terms of postseason play, I mean, Alex is almost a point per game in the playoffs throughout his career. I want to say he's, what, 144 now in 152 games in the playoffs? Something along those lines, pretty close. I mean, he's always delivered. He had the Conn Smythe run in 2018. A lot of people thought Evgeny Kuznetsov was just equally as deserving of the playoff MVP the year the Caps won it all. Defensively, John Carlson, you know, has big numbers and has been there in the trenches when it matters. But, yeah, I mean, Alex is the bell cow for sure with regard to playoff experience and numbers. I just think there are a lot of guys who are ready to break out. And I wish we were seeing the Capitals with a healthy Alexei Protas, because when he's in the lineup, it makes a major, major difference with regard to the matchups. He has helped Washington become the offensive team they were this year. He's the most improved player in the league by a mile. And I don't know when he's going to be available. I hope he's available in this first round. But when they are fully constructed like that, there's a guy like Protas, like McMichael, guys who are young in their playoff careers who are hopefully going to blossom and turn their offensive gifts into what matters now at the most critical time of the year. just like an Anthony Beauvillier, by the way, who's had several good playoff paths. One or two of them maybe were in a bubble during the COVID days. But Beauvillier is another guy who can deliver and seemingly has fit in right nicely as a spark plug for Stroman Ovechkin on that top line.
Just amazing, because we're a year removed from Ovechkin essentially being, you know, absent from a four-game sweep. I know the Caps were the 8 seed and the Rangers were the 1 seed, but there was so much discussion that that was it, and here we are a year later. All right, last one, because I know you got to run to the rink. This time of year, the favorite word is, you know, adjustments from one game to another, whether it's the NBA playoffs or the NHL playoffs. So are there any obvious adjustments to be made from game one to game two for either team?
I really liked, for the most part, how they played against, how Washington played against Montreal's top line an evening ago. And then the momentum change happened, and all of a sudden Suzuki and Caulfield and Slavkovsky started to feel their oats and play the way they can play. Montreal, Kevin, is going to have a much better first 10 minutes tomorrow night in game two. There's no doubt about it. Martin St-Louis is going to be preaching how well they played in the last 25 minutes or so of that game, most notably, I think, the last 15 minutes. But they are going to sit there and go, guys, we were right there with the top seeds. We hung in there and we're bounced away in overtime from taking away the home ice advantage. From an adjustment standpoint, I would like Washington to not adjust a thing from the way they started the game last night. And on the defensive side, I thought for the most part, with Thompson playing very effectively, that they took the right angles on the Canadian players. From all the defenders that I was talking with, Kevin, in advance of this series, everything was about directing the most dangerous Canadians players to weak spots on the ice. Sure, easier said than done, but I thought they did that really, really well. They took the right angles. They stayed on what hockey players refer to as the right side of the puck. Mm-hmm. Their bodies were between the puck and the goal, so they weren't on the wrong side of the puck, which would allow talented players to get to the cage. For the most part, I really liked game one, and I think they can enhance that in game two. For me, it's just a matter of scoring a bit more earlier and really making Montreal doubt itself. But I know the Canadians are going to be better in the first 10 minutes, and Washington had better be ready for those opening rounds.
You're the best for doing this. It's so much appreciated. I will be watching tomorrow night. Thanks, Joe, as always.
My pleasure. My pleasure, Kev. Thanks.
Joe Beninati, everybody. Alex Ovechkin, by the way, I was adding this up previously. He's got a point in 15 of his last 16 games. He's got a goal in 13 of his last 16 games. It's insane, right? Maybe not a goal. It's 11 out of the last 16. He's got a goal. But a point in 15 of his last 16 games. He had 3 points, 2 goals, and an assist. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, the oldest player in NHL playoff history to be a part of every single goal when a team scores at least 3 in a postseason game. He assisted on the second period goal, and he scored in the first period on a power play, and then again, 2 minutes and 26 seconds into overtime. They win it 3-2 last night, 3-2 last night, game two tomorrow night. And yeah, what Joe said, it did look like, again, what do I know? But it looked like Montreal was a bit tight. First time in the playoffs, a younger team for most of these guys. It really looked like they were overwhelmed to start with, and their goaltender bailed them out because it could have easily been a landslide in that first period, and they got out of it down 1-0. Hell, they got out of even a second period in which they were outplayed down 2-0, and then, wow, never saw that one coming. The 2 goals and just the onslaught, the way they totally turned that game around over the last 10 minutes. The Caps, in many ways, thanks to Logan Thompson, were lucky to get out of that third period with an overtime to play. All right, there is some news related to the NFL draft. We will get to that next.
All right, big news of the day. As Kevin just said, the Caps got the overtime win last night against Montreal. Alex Ovechkin opened and closed the scoring. It's his first postseason overtime goal of his career. Then, some breaking news on the Caps front. They have announced that defenseman Martin Fehervari underwent surgery to repair his meniscus. He will miss the rest of the playoffs. His replacement, Alex Alexiev, took a stick to the mouth last night in the third period. He will need extensive dental work, but will continue to play. An exciting night of hockey. The Jets beat the Blues in a heavyweight bout by a score of 2-1. The Dallas Stars came back to defeat the Colorado Avalanche 4-3 in overtime. And the Oilers' epic rally is spoiled in the final minute by Philip Dano and the LA Kings. They win 6-5. The NBA playoffs continue to roll on. The Pistons beat the Knicks 100-94 to tie the series. Cade Cunningham had 33 points, 12 rebounds, and 3 assists. The Clippers beat the Nuggets 105-102. It was a back-and-forth contest, 18 lead changes. They tie the series. Just over 2 days from the draft, Peter Schrager is reporting that the New York Giants and Cleveland Browns are fielding trade calls for their early first-round picks. And in baseball, tonight, the Nats take on the O's in the Battle of the Beltway. Mitchell Parker likely to get the start. First pitch is at 6:45 on 106.7 The Fan. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1. Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that's what's trending.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
That was Peter Schrager, who's now with ESPN, used to be with the NFL Network, earlier this morning. Now, he doesn't mention any of the teams that the Giants and Browns are fielding trade inquiries from. But what struck me there, if it's true, is that teams would potentially trade up to number two or three to take a running back. Ashton Jeanty is by far and away, for me, the running back number one in this draft, and the only one, and I went through this yesterday, the only one that is worthy of spending a first-round pick on. I think he has superstar potential. You know, if he were to get picked, by the way, in the top three of the draft, we would be talking about, the highest pick in an NFL draft for a running back since Saquon Barkley was taken at number two overall in 2018, if he were to go in that number two or number three spot. Look, it could be for Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter, but just the idea that teams would trade up for a running back in 2025 tells you where the running back position is in the minds of NFL front offices. I think Ashton Jeanty is clearly the number one back in this draft. I think he's worthy of a first-round pick because I think he has that superstar potential. In my discussion yesterday of running backs, if you're looking at like an all-time great, or if you're looking for somebody in today's game, it's not Barkley. You know, that's not the comp for Jeanty because Jeanty's smaller than Barkley. Barkley's a big dude. You know, Bijan's a bigger dude than Jeanty. Jeanty's 5'8", 5'9", maybe. The comp would be LaDainian Tomlinson in terms of style and then size comp. And so if you think you're getting LaDainian Tomlinson, yeah, of course you take that player in the first round. But does it make sense to trade other draft compensation in this draft or future drafts to move up into the top three? We know how expensive that is. Let's just say it's Dallas that's thinking about it. You know, Dallas is currently at 12. Remember, the early mocks with the Cowboys had them taking Jeanty. It's been a while since the Cowboys have had a running back of note. And to move up per most of the draft charts, you know, from 12 to, say, 2 or 3, you know, you're talking about on a draft chart basically 1,400 points. That's the equivalent of like a top 10 number one overall. So they're trading their number one to move up those spots and probably a future number one as well. And maybe something else for a running back. I don't know, man. I like Jeanty. I don't think he's Barkley. I don't think he's McCaffrey. I think he could be great, no doubt. And he's better than the other running backs. There is separation between him and, as I said yesterday, I've got 10 or 11 guys, basically, that I think you could throw into a hat, put their names on a piece of paper, pull it out, and have an equal chance of having struck, you know, or picked the one that ends up being a really good one. But trading up to two or three for a running back? We haven't seen that in years. You know, we saw Bijan Robinson taken 8 overall, Jahmyr Gibbs taken 12 overall in 2023. We obviously saw the pick of Saquon Barkley at number 2 overall, but the Giants didn't trade up for that. Leonard Fournette was 4, Christian McCaffrey was 8. Back in 2017, I'm pretty sure those were not trade-up scenarios. That would be crazy, trading up for a back. Look, Travis Hunter, people have compared him to Shohei Ohtani in terms of the kind of player he is. And, you know, he wants to play both ways. It'll be interesting to see his development. He is an all-time talent. You know, in terms of the overall, being able to play wide receiver at a super high level, being able to play corner at a super high level. I don't know if Abdul Carter is worth trading up to the top three to take. But I'll have stuff on the edges later on in this show, on the defensive ends. All right, up next, Eric Edholm from NFL.com. He put out his latest mock yesterday. He'll join us next.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.